Welcome to MPT Podcast. This is Pastor Tim Wilbanks. We pray that this Word of God will bless your life and ministry and increase God's blessing upon you.
I try to be kind, but if you go to sleep on me, I'm going to embarrass you. I'll take that personal. We got a young man in the church from time to time. That's what he'll do. He'll go to sleep sitting on the front row. And I'll walk down there and put my hand on his shoulder and say, "You all right?" Sometimes there's conditions, and I know folks can't help it. You'll have to stop me if you go to sleep. Tell me it's a condition I got, Brother Linville.
It's my condition. It's a great church. Y'all have a great church. Y'all have been so kind to me. And I want to say this. Hold on. Let me put these things on.
I want to say this, and I mean this in all sincerity. There is a deep stirring in the Spirit of God here in this church. Right now in this moment, the time that we're in, I sensed it last week. I sensed it this week. Strike while the iron's hot, folks. Get all that you can get right now. There's a deep stir, move of God. Churches go through cycles and seasons, and there's times of growth and times of miracles and times of harvest. I don't care how big the church, I don't care what church it is, they're all cyclic with that. They are. But when it comes to you and it's your day of visitation, you cannot miss it. You have to be a part of it. And just what we've heard tonight about folks that wanted to be here, made every effort to be here, and something happened that kept them here from coming. That lets me know there's a deep stirring and moving of God for this hour and for this time. You believe that? Hallelujah. I was in, I don't know if I told this morning, I don't think I did, but I was in the hotel lobby this morning. It was about 6:45, 6:30, somewhere around in there. And I was sitting off in the corner by myself and had my Bible open and had a cup of coffee. And there was about two or three other people in the lobby. That was it. There wasn't anybody else. While I was sitting there, I had a few notes off to the side and had my Bible again open, getting my mind right, as I always do before I preach. And this lady walked up and she said, "Pastor, you got a word from the Lord today." I was like, "Well, how do you know I'm a pastor and not just a traveling evangelist or a self-proclaimed preacher or whatever? Maybe just sitting here in the lobby doing a little reading. I might be a Bible school student. You don't know." She said, "Pastor." And then she said, "You are struggling with what you're going to say, but God's already put it in your mouth and already give it to you." She said, "Just preach the word, Pastor. He's going to go before you." She turned and walked off. The Bible says sometimes that we entertain angels unaware. Hallelujah. Tells us to be kind to each other, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says in John, the 5th chapter, and I'm not going to preach this. John 5 and 4 talks about an angel that went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then went first into the water, after it says after the troubling. Not before it. When he put his finger in there and troubled the water, stirred it up. After the troubling of the water, whoever stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. What's going on right now? Some folks want to be here. They're not able to be here. They're pulled from stem to stern, jobs and all this. What's going on is we understand that God troubles what he's about to give a miracle to. Come on. So encourage these folks to be here that are not here. Encourage them. God's going to do great things. The 17th, we're going to expect the miraculous. It's not because we towed it in a briefcase, not because we bring it, but we're going to pray and fast, and we're going to believe God for a great demonstration in the Spirit. Whether it's the pool of Bethesda or the Red Sea, God will always move before there's a miracle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. The Bible says there was a day when kings went to battle and David was standing on his balcony, should have been fighting, and he wasn't. And while he was standing there, he looked, and as he looked across all the land, he saw a beautiful woman taking a bath on a rooftop. And when you avoid the battle you were created to fight, the Bible says fight the good fight of faith. Get up, fight through the things that would hinder you from coming to the house of God. Is this all right?
Yes, sir.
That's the good fight. And when you avoid the battle you were created to fight, you'll fight a battle you were not created.
Come on.
Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody.
Yes,
I don't know about you, but I want to fight the battles that God has ordained for me to fight. I don't want to fight things that's unnecessary. I don't have the energy or the strength of the time to fight things that I shouldn't have to fight. But I'm going to tell you what I am going to fight. I'm going to fight and shake off carnality, spirits of the flesh, the things that want to hinder me in my walk with God. Come on, I know you're yawning. It takes spiritual muscle on a Sunday night to get something from God. But if you're willing, God will move and touch you. Fight weariness of mind. Fight weariness of body and of spirit. Come on, somebody. Shake it off. Sister Connie's not just up here playing music. She's anointed of God to usher you in and lead you into a place where the miraculous can take place. It's not just so you feel good. It's just not willy-nilly picking songs. No, it's God-led, God-ordained, God-inspired, God-breathed to get us to the place. That's why you should respond. That's why you should move. That's why you should shout, jump, run. Hallelujah. Acts, the third chapter and verse number 5. I feel my help in here tonight. Whew. Just one scripture. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Been there a long time. Been there a long time. Something about this day when the two disciples were going into the house of God to pray.
Yep.
Something about this time.
Yes, sir.
He looked upon them. Shook a little can in their face.
Yep.
Expecting to receive something of them. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Watch this. He was blown away and got more than he expected. But you can't never doubt that he expected to receive something. I want to preach with the help of the Lord tonight. Expectation. Expectation. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness to us, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come into your presence, God, and feel your power, Lord Jesus. Demonstrate it tonight. Use me, our hearing and understanding, being open to what you would speak into our spirits. Prepared ground and soil to receive the word of God with gladness. We're better off for coming and hearing it than we were for staying at home in your wonderful name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Hallelujah. I had a young man that's preaching now in our church, and he got up one night and just very simply made a statement. And I think a lot of times when it's spoken that we just, there's cliches and things that we say as apostolics, and he got up, and before he preached, he scanned across the crowd, and he said, "How many's come tonight expecting to receive something?" And immediately it struck my spirit. I go to Walmart, and I walk in the door, and a lot of times I walk straight to the back. And if it's deer season, I'm going in there to get apple corn or something that I need. And there's an expectancy. You know, Walmart's the one-stop shop. You can get you a sandwich at Subway and get your eyes checked. You can get your toilet paper and you can go over and get some Fritos all at the same time. It's a one-stop everything. But you go in there with an expectancy. I went in there after service one time not long ago. I had told my two grand boys, I said, "Papa's going to get you some BB guns." And their dad's the biggest Mexican you ever seen, I promise you. He's getting all them guns and stuff, but he married into the Linville family, you know, and the Linvilles are crazy about guns and shooting and all this stuff. So I told my grand youngins, I said, "Papa's going to get you something. You shoot all the windows out of the house and shoot every bird that flies over." And yes. Zach's 9. He's about this big, weighs about 20 pounds, I think. I got him a gun, a BB gun, and that's all he does, shoots all the time. Told Micah, I said, "Papa's going to get you one." So I went, I was going to get Micah a little bigger gun because, you know, he's 13. He ought to have one that'll kill something. So I told him, I said, "Papa's going to run to Walmart and I'm going to get you a BB gun." His mom and dad were going to Kroger. They needed to get a little something. And I said, "I'll just meet you in the parking lot." And they were out of school at this time. It was right at Christmas break, I believe, or something. They had some time off, so that's all they were going to do, shoot up everything they could shoot up. And so I went into Walmart, walked back to the back about 8:30 at night, walked back to the back. It was a Wednesday. And walked back in there, had the one I wanted in a locked case back there. I said, "Ain't no problem, find somebody," which is hard to do now in Walmart. Find a little help, you can't do that. But I finally tracked down somebody, and I was speaking Swahili to them because they avoided me, didn't want to. They blew me off, so I went to what you do. You go to the customer service place, and they will help you. I'm going expecting to get. I walked up there and I said, "Yeah, I need to get a BB gun out of the case back here. It's locked." One of your employees brushed me off like I was speaking a foreign language. And the lady looked at me and she said, "They gone home." This is Walmart. They don't go home at Walmart. Somebody's here. And I said, "Excuse me." She said, "Oh, they go home. They gone home." "Well, can I speak to a manager?" "Nope, not one here." No wonder I walk in here and it smells like dope everywhere in here. It's not the customers, it's the employees. You're not supposed to be treated like that at Walmart. You're supposed to be able to go in there and get whatever you need. If it's on the shelf, you ought to be able to get it. You shouldn't have to turn and come back another day or at a convenient time for them, for you to get what you want. I know this is simple tonight, but the house of God should be a one-stop shop. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that you ought to come in here and everything ought to fit your fancy. I'm
just saying that if you need healing, you ought to be able to get it. If you need deliverance, you shouldn't have to go anywhere else. You ought to be able to get it here. If you need counsel, the wonderful counselor ought to be here. You shouldn't have to sit down on a couch and have some whack job trying to figure out your problem. The preached word ought to preach you into being. You shouldn't have to come back at a better time when there's more people. You shouldn't have to come back on a Sunday morning. You shouldn't have to come back during a revival. You ought to be able to walk in the house of God anytime the doors are open and get what you have need of. You shouldn't have to wait to general conference to get a word from God. It shouldn't be when your song's being sung. There ought to be an expectation. But I've pastored long enough to know some folks are here tonight and they didn't come at wanting nothing. They just showed up. And I'm going to tell you what they're going to get. Absolutely what they came for. Nothing. It's quiet, isn't it? I understand under the sound of my voice there are some that have come just because. I'm going to shut up, Mama. I'm going to come. Just to shut her, get her off my back. And you ain't got to worry about it. You're not going to get nothing. That's it. I've heard people say, Pastor, in the church that I pastor, that was a great word today. Thank you so much for being sensitive to the Lord. And I've seen others walk out. Couldn't wait to get to McDonald's. And not say nothing. Because you know what they expected out of the service? Nothing. It was a waste of time. It was a waste of time. Your expectations. These are your strong hopes or beliefs and desires that something will happen or that you will get something that you want. Did you hear what I said? Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of the prayer. This was not the hour of sacrifice. They had already been there. Help me, Holy Ghost. I said they had already been there at the hour of sacrifice. This was the hour of prayer. This was the time they were going. Because they were going in there after they had sacrificed. Oh, help me. To receive from God something according to the sacrifice that they had already laid upon the altar. And as they were going in to receive something from the Lord, a way of encouragement, of healing, or whatever it was that they were after, here's this cat saying, give me something. Give me something. And because they had this great, because they had this great expectancy within inside of them, they knew that they had already sacrificed. They had already prepared it. They had already planned for a miracle as they walked. Come on. If we ever get to the place where we as the people of God are expecting a miracle, we're expecting God to move. We're expecting God to do something. And they said, Bubba, we ain't got no coins to give you. We don't have no coins to give you. But we do have something. We got an expectancy for the miraculous. Woo. They had already recognized that Jesus fulfilled the law concerning sacrifice as the perfect lamb slain from the world, took away the sins of the world. Maybe we leave disappointed because we expected God to do one thing, but he moved entirely in a different way. I came so he would take care of my bills this week, but God wanted to do something different in my life. He wanted to heal my neighbor. He wanted to deliver. Oh God, I came for a prophetic word, but he wanted to give me correction. He wanted to reprove me. He wanted to help me. He wanted to make some adjustments in my life. Hallelujah. Oh. And people leave week in and week out, desperate for a touch from God, desperate to receive something from God. And could it be twofold? Could it be maybe that we didn't expect anything to happen as the church? And second, that they came and they hadn't received anything because they wasn't expecting anything but to be entertained by the music or by anything else. God help us. God help us. Every time we come to church, there's got to be a deep stirring within our gut. Not them, within us. Come on, somebody. Maybe somebody didn't sing the part right. Maybe somebody hit a wrong note. Maybe something else is a distraction. We have to push through that. We have to push beyond that. And we have to worship God with a great and deep expectancy within our heart, because if not, we're not going to receive anything. If not, the word of God's going to be of no avail. If not, when the preached word goes by, we're going to be yawning, clipping our fingernails. We're going to be looking around. We're going to be playing with kids. And God's Spirit is not going to be able to accomplish what it wants to accomplish in our service, because we ain't expecting anything to happen. But if we come in here and we're on pins and needles, and at the start of the music, we begin to worship God like it's our last opportunity. Oh, there's an atmosphere that's created, and God can move and do the miraculous. My grandson was playing the drums a few weeks ago, and I preached about getting beyond the norm, and Micah got off the drums. Micah's got a prosthetic from here down, and Micah got off the drums, and he hit the edge of the platform like this, and he went like this, and then he took off running around the church. And I stopped and said, if that boy can run on one leg, you're going to go to hell because you're sitting there and not moving. I tell you where I'm at. I'm addicted to a move of God. I'm addicted to the Spirit of God moving. I'm addicted to people getting healed. I'm addicted to people getting the Holy Ghost. And if it takes me acting crazy, then so be it. I want to see a move of God. You can tell when they're hungry. You can tell. They might be a first-time guest, but you can tell when they're hungry. You can tell when they made up their night. You can tell when they've made up their mind. This is my night. This is my night. They come in with Smokey beside them, their boyfriend, you know. He's been raised in church, but he's been playing it both ways. He's been in church on Sunday, and he's been living like hell through the week. Hey, you feel that right there? And he convinced his little girlfriend to come to church with him. And I've seen it, Brother Tim. You have too.
Yeah, I've seen a lot.
That little girl comes in here, and she gets blitzed by the power of God. She's under so much conviction that if you could get Smokey to leave her alone, God would fill her with the whole. You know what I'm talking about? Why is it that when the Spirit of God's moving like that, conviction's in the house, they want to hug on each other.
They get all over each other, man.
They want to hang all over each other. Now, pardon my pastor right here. I'm going to drop my pastor out for a minute. But if they're doing that in here, God only knows what they're doing outside of church. I tell you what it is. It's a distraction. And she's come and been blitzed by the power of God. But Smokey ain't expecting nothing. He's not expecting God to do anything. And God's wanting to fill his girl with the Holy Ghost. But because he ain't got an ounce of expectancy in him, the Spirit of God has to move by him first. We fight more among people of God trying to get them to the place to worship than we do a raw guest coming in for the very first time. We gotta quit that. We gotta come expecting her to get the Holy Ghost. I'm bringing you to get the Holy Ghost. I'm bringing you to get delivered. I'm bringing you to get healed. You tell them, if you're coming to be entertained, don't waste my time or yours. But if you're coming to get your socks knocked off by the power of God, you come on. Can I just tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost? You can't afford to have dead church anymore. God's wanting to take this church to a deeper, further place than it's ever been. And you can't afford to have dead church. Mundane, routine church is gone. It's over with. You need to come in here expecting. What's God gonna do? He filled two people with the Holy Ghost last week. I'm expecting him to fill 10. I'm expecting him to fill 10. He healed Susie last week. I'm expecting him to heal everybody in the house that's sick. Because if you don't expect nothing, that's what you're gonna get. Nothing. Jesus was attracted to the poor. He was attracted to the broken. He never turned them away. Come on, somebody. What I love in Scripture, powerful man, Herod. Herod wanted God to do a miracle before him. Come on, Jesus. Won't you do a miracle? And all it was is he wanted to be entertained. He thought his status afforded him the opportunity to tell the King of Kings what to do and how to do it. And when Herod asked for a miracle just to gratify his own curiosity, the Lord didn't even respond to him. Herod was looking for amusement. Come on, somebody. He was looking for a conjurer to perform some kind of clever trick before him. There was no way in this world. See, God's a discerner of the heart. And he knew Herod had no desire to change. He just wanted to be conjured into some frenzy.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Herod didn't have an ounce of expectancy. He just thought because of who he was, he could tell the Lord what to do. Be careful. Be careful. Can I tell you that's the hindrance of apostolics today? It's a revival killer. This is what will handcuff the move of God and the Holy Ghost quicker than greased lightning. It's what will cause you to leave frustrated. It's what will cause you wondering and questioning. He begged at the beautiful gate. Surely he could survive with his condition begging at
the beautiful gate.
History records that in Judaism, there was a strong tradition of alms giving and giving to the poor and those that were begging. Doing it according to Judaism was an act of righteousness. And Peter fastening his eyes upon him. Most people ignoring a beggar's plea would not have looked upon him. He was encouraged. He saw him make eye contact. And he thought, oh baby, a big check's coming my way today. Many fail to come to the place where they really expect something from God. This is plain, simple faith. Your pastor saw it. I did. I refer to it all the time. When we were in Ethiopia and they come running out of the brush to the place that was designated as the sanctuary, you couldn't have convinced them that God wasn't going to move. You couldn't have convinced them that God wasn't going to perform miracles. We seen twisted limbs straight, devils cast out. Your pastor prayed for an armed guard, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost while he was clutching a machine gun. They had an expectancy. They had an expectancy. You know why God moves all over third world countries? Because they don't have coffee pots that will make them a pot of coffee. They don't have refrigerators. They don't have fancy cars. And they don't have homes with nice beds. And they don't have all that. No. The stuff that we say, God, I appreciate this, but I really need a $50,000 raise. Give me a break. We're not thankful for what God's already given us. 10 minutes of my morning prayer, Brother Will. 10 minutes of my morning prayer. God, I thank you for waking me up today. I thank you for rejuvenating strength. I thank you, God, that when I flip a light switch, it comes on. I thank you, God, that when I flush the toilet, it takes it away. I thank you, God, that I can go in and make me a pot of coffee. I can get a gallon of milk out of a refrigerator. You'll be surprised how long it'll take you to just thank God for what he's already given you and what he's already done that would be considered a luxury anywhere else. And it handcuffs us because we're always reaching for what we don't have, that we don't have no expectancy for right here and right now. I'm telling you, there's a miracle in this house. There's a miracle here. How bad do you want it? We lower expectations and settle for less. And God's saying, I want you more. Go further, go deeper. Pray more, fast more, commit more, read more, study more, consecrate more, give me more, sacrifice more. And we say, God, you've already done enough. That's enough right there. And we limit God, and it's a lack of faith, and it's a lack of expectancy. And we come in the house and we get content because we had 145. We had 100. And a preacher talks about Friends Day, and pastor gets up and says, hey, we're having Friends Day, and you got to pull teeth, and you got to do this and that. And people say, well, that was great. We had this. And God said, you had 300, but I wanted to give you 1,000. But because you limited me through an expectancy that was so low, the threshold of what you expected was so... We settle for less. Settle for less than what God has for us. And we've reached a day where the sorcerers, known as the denominal world, can you manipulate and almost parallel the church? They got our worship. They got our music.
Our buildings look like their buildings. Help me, Holy Ghost. Our people look, well, our people look like their people. Talk the same stuff. Worst thing I ever did was go to church growth seminars that were tailor-made for the denominational world. You can stop me anytime you want, Brother Will Banks. And people went and tried to reproduce what Andy Stanley's got. And they got frustrated. And the difference needs to be a move of God. The difference needs to be the miraculous. That's the difference. I have become addicted to it. I have become addicted to it. I get mad if we don't see miracles in the church. I get Holy Ghost indignant if we're not seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost. We had a man and his wife. He hated me. He prayed back through. God laid it upon his heart to buy a heater for the baptistry. And I wish he'd have never put that heater in there. We made the water nice and comfortable for folks and don't baptize nobody. And I get mad. I said, it's time to baptize. This ain't an apostolic church if we're not baptized. I don't know how your pastor does it. This ain't an apostolic church if we're not baptizing people. This ain't an apostolic church if people are not praying through in the altar. This ain't an apostolic church if we're not casting out devils. I know a lot of apostolic churches don't want to see that. But it's our job to cast out devils. I come expecting it. I said, I come expecting it. I don't run from a devil. I want to see a devil manifest so I can cast it out of somebody, so I can take authority. We're an apostolic church. We got an expectancy of seeing God move in a great way. So every now and then I'll get up and I'll preach on baptism in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
And we'll baptize folks.
Yes, sir.
That's the expectancy.
Yes, sir.
Every now and then I got to preach on tithe. I know you don't have to around here, but I got to. And them heathens will start paying their tithe again. Hallelujah. Every once in a while I got to visit the Holy Ghost talking in tongues like they did on the day of Pentecost. Because if you don't, people are human. Isn't that profound? People are human and their humanity gets sitting down and they come with no expectancy. Well, nobody's going to get the Holy Ghost today. Where are we going to eat?
Yeah.
I walk through the aisles. I wish our metal building would stop all internet.
Come on.
Because I walk through the aisles and folks are surfing Facebook. If you call yourself an apostolic, I love you. I'm going to say it with a smile. And during a church service, you're on Facebook. You didn't come expecting anything. You might as well came in your pajamas because you wasn't expecting God to do nothing. If you can't sit here in this place and get in the spirit for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and you can't be away from Facebook for an hour and a half, 2 hours, it tells me you ain't expecting God to do nothing. That the roof could blow off the building and all you're worried about is how many likes you got or how many people commented on your nonsense. Why don't you come expecting God to move in this place? He got more than what he bargained for, but it was a result of his expectancy. And maybe, just maybe, Middleton Pentecostal Tabernacle, God would blow your mind. And people would be standing around the walls like they were in the old building. And God would give you more than you bargained for. If from the moment you walked in here, you were like, where are they at, God? Where are they at? Who's getting the Holy Ghost tonight? Who's going to be delivered tonight? Who's going to be set free tonight? Who's going to receive a miracle tonight?
tonight. Let's stand. Come on, folks, just a moment, just a moment. Ministering angels are in this place. I need some folks that ain't scared to pray in tongues right now. Hey, come on, where you at? I didn't come for any other reason but to receive from God tonight. The Lord prompted me that if I would come tonight. The Lord prompted me that if I'd come. I wasn't going to come, but something tugged me and pulled me. Come on, where you at? I need some folks talking in tongues right now. I need the church to pray in tongues right now in the inner city. In the name of Jesus, answer every prayer, God. Answer every prayer, Lord Jesus, on her behalf. I curse, Lord, the devourer. I curse, Lord Jesus, God, the intimidation. I pray right now, God, that you would give her the assurance that you're hearing, but not only hearing, you're going to do everything, God, that you put in her heart, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray in tongues right here. Pray in tongues for a moment. Come on, I'm desperate, God. I'm desperate. I can't wait any longer, God. I gotta have it tonight. I gotta have it tonight. I gotta have it tonight, God. Come on. Where's your expectancy? Come on. What are you after? Whoa, God. Come on, you're going to leave with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. And the power of God's so strong in here. The Spirit of God's moving so strong. You're going to leave with nothing. And it's not going to be because God wasn't here. It's going to be because you come empty-handed, not willing to receive anything from God. Closed fists, closed hearts, closed mind. Come on, God's here. God's moving. Come on. In the name of Jesus.
We pray today that this word has blessed you, ministered to the needs of your life. Until next time, God bless you.